Today, the World Health Organization published a new report on tuberculosis. Let's check in with Dr. Eileen Marty, infectious disease specialist and professor at Florida International University. Dr. Marty, good morning. Did this report surprise you as far as how many people were diagnosed with TB last year?
Well, it wasn't a complete surprise because there's more of us on the planet. And if you read the report with great care, the numbers of total cases are very, very high and significantly higher. But the incidence is not that much higher. So the numbers reflect the fact that there's more humans on the planet more than it reflects anything else. It's important to note that we had a real problem during COVID-19 in conducting proper tuberculosis surveillance and treatment for those who were identified. So we've actually recovered from that. So in a sense, we're managing it better now, but it remains one of the biggest killers in the world, killing at least 1 million people every year. And it's an extremely serious problem here in the United States, although our incidence is not as high in the United States compared to Asian countries, especially India and Pakistan and China and Indonesia. The highest burdens in the United States are in Alaska, Hawaii, California, and New York. And the highest risk groups are mostly people who come from those areas where it's even higher, right? So people with those backgrounds have a higher risk. Homeless people, people with HIV, it is a number one killer of people with HIV, tuberculosis, especially in Africa, but even here in the United States. And people who have substance disorders, those also have an increased risk of getting tuberculosis and dying from tuberculosis. And, of course, those of us who work in the healthcare field and are exposed to people with TB are at increased risk for tuberculosis. So this remains a big deal. There's new data, and the WHO report was fantastic in talking about 8 new vaccines that are under development. There has been, of course, for a long time, a vaccine for TB that we do not use in the United States, the BCG vaccine. It was developed in the 1930s. It is effective, but it is not. It's easy to overwhelm the efficacy of that vaccine. And so people who have had that vaccine as a kid, especially if they're in countries that use the vaccine, it sort of confuses the diagnosis in the standard way we used to do the diagnosis for screening, right? The old PPD test. Today, we emphasize doing gamma release assays instead of that tuberculin skin test, the PPD test for screening. And there's actually a molecular test that's recommended if somebody's suspected of having active TB, so like a PCR type of test that's actually even what the WHO now recommends.
Yeah, it is a bit of a surprise, though, you know, with the tools to detect TB and treat it, that it still kills and sickens so many people. The other thing I wanted to ask you about, Dr. Marty, with people getting COVID shots now and flu shots and RSV shots, is how exercise may enhance the effects of vaccines. What can you tell us about this?
Yeah, there's actually been quite a few studies that absolutely show that exercise has really interesting effects on vaccines, because exercise, like, is something that actually alters the gene expression of a number of cells. It affects your metabolism, your tissue health. It changes protein levels throughout your body. And so all of this can be extremely helpful when you get a vaccine, especially you know, when you get that vaccine the very first time. Sometimes you don't necessarily have the optimal effect the second time, but the first time that your body sees a new vaccine, it's fantastic to exercise and have exercise and have a regular exercise routine, which generally, you know, it increases your overall health anyway. I mean, you have better control of your, like, insulin, like, growth factor levels, and these things really have a huge positive value to exercise all the time. Moreover, we found during in our own place during the COVID vaccinations that people who exercise had fewer side effects from having had the vaccine, at least the first time they got it. Some people, the second time, because they have such a strong immune response, might have had somewhat more of a uncomfortableness from the vaccine than people who didn't exercise the second dose, right? Mm-hmm. Because they have this revved up system that makes it seem like they're more miserable or, you know, seem a little more miserable for a day or so. But in the end, it's just a reflection of having a much better regulation of your entire body and response to a foreign antigen.
But don't overdo it, right?
Absolutely. You know, you've got to get that recovery in. Otherwise, the exercise can be counterproductive.
Yeah, tell it to my wife, will you, Dr. Marty? You know, she is. It's Dr. Eileen Marty. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.